The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
And when we talk about the nature of man, we say that man was created in the image of God. But when the Apostle Paul and Pastor Timothy talk about the nature of Jesus, they say that Christ is the image of God. So Jesus Christ is not just a man, he is also something else. He is truly man who also is the image of God.
For thousands of years, men and women have searched this earth, wide and low, deep and high, for the supreme being, whereas the writer of Hebrews says, Jesus Christ is the brightness of God's glory and the expressed image of his person, meaning he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of God's nature. What can be clearer than that? So to the Colossians, Paul iterates, guys, look for no one else. Look for nothing else. No deeper knowledge will you have to uncover. Look for the light, knowledge, glory. We have all of that, and all that is in Christ, the image of the invisible God. Hello, my name is Mark, and I'm your host for our commuter CD from Riverside Baptist Church in Southern California. Let's listen as Pastor Christian traces for us the main countermeasure against false teaching.
Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Colossians this morning. We started on an exposition of the book of Colossians a couple of Lord's days ago now. And we are in Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to read three verses this morning, beginning in verse 15. So if you would stand and in reverence to the Word of God, let's read this together, and so that we can encourage one another by the voice that you give. Encourage one another and edify one another with the words of the Lord. Beginning in verse 15, together read. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Last verse, verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That is the word of the Lord, and may he bless it indeed in our hearing this morning. You may be seated. My wife and I recently celebrated our 12th year anniversary, and we witnessed a submarine pull into port, and I thought of the many countermeasures any Navy submarine would have when she is attacked by an enemy. But the main countermeasure that a submarine has, do you know what it is? Is its stealth. It's being undetected. That is the main countermeasure of a submarine. Now, the church in Colossae was being attacked by the enemy of Christ and his minions. Epaphras, the pastor of this local church in Colossae, trekked 1,000 miles just to see the living apostle and another pastor there by the name of Timothy, and to ask them what countermeasures might they use to counteract the attacks of Satan. And so the Apostle Paul and Pastor Timothy wrote a letter, and they called it Colossians, all right? And to indicate these countermeasures. And as they wrote the letter, you find here in the beginning verses of Colossians chapter 1, essentially the Apostle Paul and Pastor Timothy were telling the Colossian Christians, guys, you need to remember the gospel, that the gospel brought newness into your life. That was a countermeasure. Another countermeasure that they gave Epaphras and the church here in Colossae is this: you guys got to remember knowing and doing the will of God in your life. And here in our text today, verses 15 through 18, we see the main countermeasure. And what is the main countermeasure? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the main countermeasure. In fact, He is preeminent. In fact, He is not only prominent, but He is preeminent. That is a cut above all that is prominent. The Apostle Paul and Pastor Timothy were telling them that Christ is supreme. He is the highest category all by Himself. And no one else like Him. And I want you to look at four categorical descriptions. Four categorical descriptions of Jesus Christ here from our text this morning. Number one, Jesus Christ is the image of God. Look at with me in verse 15. This is not asking a question. This is describing who Jesus Christ is. And who is He? He is the image of the invisible God. That is a category for deity. Number one, Jesus Christ is the image of God. That is a category of deity. What do I mean by that? Well, that is to say that He is in the same nature as God. And when we talk about the nature of man, we say that man was created in the image of God. But when the Apostle Paul and Pastor Timothy talk about the nature of Jesus, they say that Christ is the image of God. So Jesus Christ is not just a man, He is also something else. He is truly man who also is the image of God. Well, what does that mean, Pastor Christian, to say the image of God? There are two options that we find here. Number one, Christ is the image of God in the sense that He is the exact likeness of God. Like the image on a coin or the reflection in a mirror. All right? Secondly, is this idea in the word, in our English word, manifestation. Manifestation. That is, Christ is the image of God in the sense that the nature and being of God are perfectly revealed in Him. I want us to look at two scriptures here, two texts here. The first one I want you to look at is Hebrews 1. Let's go there together. Hebrews 1, verse 3. What does it mean the image of God, that Christ is the image of God. Hebrews 1:3. What's the first word there, class? Who? It's not asking a question. It's describing who Jesus Christ is. It is describing who the Son of God is. And it says, who being the what? Brightness of God's glory and the what? Express image of God's person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. This is a language for the category of deity. The language for the category of God. Now, this is the idea here that we see of the reflection in a mirror, that Jesus Christ is what you will see if God were to look at a mirror. Now, of course, God is a spirit and he is invisible. Therefore, he is immaterial. You cannot see him. But if God, the spirit, were to look at a mirror, just like all of you did, hopefully you did look at a mirror before you left this morning, right? If God were to look at a mirror, what you will see is who? Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ. The other idea that we have from this text is found in John chapter 1. I want us to look at that scripture, all right? John chapter 1. You know where John is, kids. You know where John is. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 1. And look at verse 18. What's the first word there, class? No. No man hath seen God at any time. True statement? Of course it is. No man has seen God at any time. Not in the Old Testament, not in the New Testament time, not in our time today. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath what? He hath declared him. Here is the idea of manifestation. The first one, the first idea was the reflection. The second idea is this word manifestation. By the way, the word that you see here is declared him. Jesus declared him is coming from a Greek word that says exegenoxato, exegesato, exegesato, where we get our English word exegesis, which means to what? It is a root word which means to make known, to tell fully, to fully make known. To declare is to fully make known. So in other words, Jesus made known fully who? God. All right, let me put it in another way. When you squeeze a orange, what do you get out of it? You get orange juice. Kids, when you squeeze an apple, what do you get out of squeezing of an apple? Apple juice, right? Now, get this. If you were to squeeze God, do you know who you'll get? You'll get Jesus Christ. This is the meaning of the word declared him. That Jesus declared him. Jesus exegeted God. Jesus exegesato, which means when you squeeze something, you'll get that juice, and that juice that you'll get is Jesus Christ when you squeeze God. Now, I know that I'm accommodating in our language here because that's how we need to understand this. If God, who is a spirit, were to look at a mirror, who do you see in the reflection? Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul is making this point that the main countermeasure for the deception and the lies in the church is Jesus Christ himself. Why? Because he is the image of the invisible God. And that is talking about a language of deity. Now, I want to say this. For thousands of years, men and women have searched this earth wide and low and deep and high for the supreme being. I like how a prominent Christian apologist put it this way. The Jews saw that the ultimate attribute of this supreme being is light. That's why you read in the book of Psalms, the poetry, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." And that's why you read that. The Greeks were known for their great philosophers, right? They say that the ultimate attribute of God, the ultimate category description of this supreme being was knowledge. Knowledge. That's why you read in history of greatest philosophers such as Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle in their pursuit of knowledge. The Romans said that the ultimate attribute of the supreme being was glory, the glory of Rome. That's why you read in history of the great legions of the Roman army conquering land after land for glory. But notice how the Apostle Paul answered this search. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians with me and look at this with your own eyes. 2 Corinthians 4:6. The Jews, they thought of the supreme being as what? The light. The Greeks thought of the supreme being as what? Knowledge. The Romans thought of the supreme being as what? Glory. But 2 Corinthians 4:6 tell us this. 2 Corinthians 4:6, the Apostle Paul boldly proclaim that we have found the supreme being. God, in his own gracious choice, chose to enlighten men and women in their search for the supreme being. 2 Corinthians 4:6. Look at that with me. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of whom? Jesus Christ. What he was saying was, the world, the whole world, has been searching the entire universe for this supreme being. And I boldly proclaim to you that we have found him, and it is found in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. So to the Colossians, Paul iterated to them, guys, look for no one else. Look for nothing else. No deeper knowledge will you have to uncover. You look for light, knowledge, glory. We have all of that, and all of that is in Christ Jesus, the image of the invisible God. Now, the second thing about this is this. Let's go back to our text. So the Apostle Paul is making an argument for the main countermeasure for the lies that have been attacking the church. And he says, your countermeasure is who? Jesus Christ. Why? Number one, because he is the image of God. Number two, because he is the firstborn of creation. Look at our text. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? The what? The firstborn of every creature. The firstborn of every creature. Don't let that language intimidate you. Why do you say that, Pastor Christian? Well, the Jehovah's Witnesses make a grave mistake here in thinking that Jesus was a created being. the Latter-day Saints as well make a big mistake here, and that's why they continue to sustain the doctrine that they were both, that Jesus and Lucifer were both spirit beings, brothers, in the sense they were both created by God the Father. But don't let this language scare you. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of every creature, which means there are nuances here that we need to know. This needs to be interpreted cautiously and painstakingly. What does it mean that Jesus Christ is the firstborn of every creature? Does it mean that he himself was created and then he created the rest of the creation? No, it doesn't mean that. It means this. Well, you will find that the Greek word here comes from the word prototokos, where we have an English derivative, prototype. Prototokos gives us two ideas. One, that of first in time. When we say that he is firstborn, you get the nuance that, yes, he is first in time. And thus have said that he was the first of creation. And get the heretical idea that Jesus was a created being. The second nuance of this word, prototokos, means he is first in rank. He is first in rank. He is first in rank over all creation. This is the point that the Apostle Paul and Pastor Timothy were making, that Christ is first in rank. He is supreme indeed. Now, if you are familiar with the military ranking system, the highest you have is what? A 4-star general. But there have been in our history 5-star generals, and there's only a few of them. One, for example, is General Douglas MacArthur. He was a 5-star general. Another one was Eisenhower. He was called a 5-star general. Why? Because he is the supreme commander of over all the generals, of over all the armies and the air force of the United States. This is the sense that we have here. Jesus is the prototokos, meaning he is, yes, first in time, but he is also, and more emphatically, first in rank. You say, Pastor Christian, I'm not really convinced. Well, okay, let's look at the context. If you're not convinced by the emphasis of the original language, meaning of the word, let's look at the context. You're still here, right? In Colossians chapter 1, look at verse number 16. What is the context here? I'm telling you, and I'm arguing for the fact that Jesus is first in rank over all creation, that he himself was not made, that he himself is uncreated. And the context bears that out clearly. Because it says here, verse 16, what? For by him. Who's the him there for? That is Jesus. By him were all things created, and are that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Now then, are you convinced? How in the world did that happen? If Christ was himself a created being, then why would the context say that Jesus Christ created all things? Whereas Moses said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The New Testament writers, the Apostle John, the writer of Hebrews, Apostle Paul, all wrote that Jesus Christ was the one who created heaven and the earth. This brings us to only one conclusion. And what is that? Jesus is the supreme being. And if you Google that word, supreme being, it will tell you that that is another name for God. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of creation, which is a categorical description of being supreme. He is supreme. Why did Paul mention that? Because Christ, as the firstborn of every creature, indicates his supremacy. Now, the Apostle Paul and Pastor Timothy were giving the Colossian Christians the main countermeasure for the deceptions that have crept into the church. And he's telling them, or they are telling Epaphras and the Colossian Christians, Jesus Christ is the main countermeasure. Why? Because he is the image of the invisible God. That is a language for deity. Jesus is God. And if you hear anyone who tell you otherwise, they are wrong. Jesus Christ is God. The second reason is because Jesus Christ is the firstborn of every creature. That is a categorical description of the language of supremacy.
Jesus is both the reflection and the manifestations of God in the flesh, which makes Jesus the God-man, which means Jesus is truly man and truly God, the truly unique being. My friends, thank you for listening to part one of the four descriptions of Jesus Christ from Colossians 1, 15 through 18. Part two will come next. Thank you for listening to our commuter CD from Riverside Baptist Church in Southern California. For times of services and more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com. My name is Mark, and I hope to see you again next time on our commuter CD from RBC.